Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you tonight. It's good to be with you this afternoon and coming into your home. And we thank you for this opportunity of being able to come into your home. And we pray this evening that this will be a blessing to you. And maybe something will be said or done that will bless you and help you to go on forward in the Lord. And I want to start out with another song here by the Branham family called Ananias. Praise the Lord. If you 770-584-4969, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, Brother Ed, this is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
How you doing, Brother John?
I'm doing great. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let me say this. If you want to be part of this broadcast and you'd like to call in, the number is 310-742-1759. John, go ahead and obey the Lord, brother.
I appreciate it. We're talking about things pertaining to life tonight. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, begin with verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Peter was writing unto them, a servant and an apostle, and he was writing to those who had attained a precious faith through the righteousness of God and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace comes multiplied unto us. Amen. And you need to know tonight, amen, that we're talking about things pertaining to life, and faith is a thing that pertains to our lives that we need, these precious things, these little things. And second thing there is it talks about grace and peace being multiplied through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Grace and peace is multiplied. The more knowledge that we receive of God the Father, the more knowledge we receive of the Lord Jesus Christ the Son, the more grace and peace is multiplied into our lives. Grace is pertaining to life. Peace is pertaining. Peace of the Father is pertaining to life. And knowledge is, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, it says, well, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Amen. And we need that knowledge. Knowledge is another thing pertaining to life, the things that we need. Verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So divine power is talking about the Godhead here. It's talking about the word divine means the Godhead. It says, according to the divine power, the power of the Godhead, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have to understand that the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and through him we can have the fullness of everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. We need to know tonight that without godliness, amen, without godliness, and without the things pertaining to life, Jesus declared in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And we find, amen, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, in other words, the nature of the Godhead, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust, amen, hallelujah, brings corruption into our life. These are things that do not pertain to life. Corruption does not pertain to life. Lust does not pertain to life, even though it's a part of our life. We need to bring it under subjection, amen. And so the Bible says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is things pertaining to life, and to temperance, amen. And to knowledge, temperance. And so we need to add knowledge of God to the virtue of God. And then we need to add a temperance to God. In other words, controlling our temper, and to temperance, patience, amen. The Bible says, "In your patience possess you." So these are things that are given to us that we might have life and godliness, amen. That things pertain to life. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is another thing that pertains to life that we must have, be a part of. And to brotherly kindness, charity. That's the love feast. That's the unending love. Amen. And then the Bible says, for if these things be in you and abound, not only of all these things, talking about virtue, talking about faith, talking about knowledge, talking about temperance, talking about patience, talking about godliness, talking about brotherly love and brotherly kindness. And, amen, and charity. If these things be in you, if they're on the inside of us and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you have these within you, you'll not be barren. You'll have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it multiplies these other things, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a peace of path all understanding. But he that lacketh these things, verse 9, is blind and cannot see afar off. If we don't have these things that are pertaining to life, that we receive through the knowledge of God, then the Bible says that we are blind. The Bible says that this gospel is hid to the end to them that are blinded by the god of this world. We need to have our eyes open. God has a desire for our eyes to be opened and to see tonight. We need to know, amen, that if we don't have these things, that we're blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In other words, we've forgotten. When we come to these things aren't in us. We come to a place of forgetfulness. We come to a place of blindness. We come to a place where we cannot see afar off. Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So we've lost our vision. We've lost our insight. We've lost, amen, amen, the things of the kingdom. So tonight we need to know, amen, that that we've forgotten, that we've been cleansed, we've been purged from the old man, the old nature, the old way. Because he's just a He said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Here it is. He's talking about diligence is things pertaining to life. Talks about giving diligence to all these things. Now it's talking about giving diligence, amen, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. When you give these things, when you make your calling and election sure, when you come and assure yourself in Jesus Christ pertaining to life, again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The things that pertain to Jesus Christ, the things that pertain to eternal life. Amen. These are things, amen, that we must have, and we must, amen, have in our lives. Says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, wherefore I pray you, I will not be negligent to pray you always in remembrance of these things, that you know them and be established in the present truth. So what he was saying here is, here's an entrance. Here's an entrance into the kingdom. Here's an entrance to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we need to know, amen, that as we do these things, there's a door that's open unto us. There's a door into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he said, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. In other words, constantly reminding you that if you do these things, there's an entrance, there's a door open tonight pertaining to life. There's an entrance way tonight that's going forth, amen, into the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, yeah, I think it means as long as I am in this tabernacle, talking about the old body, talking about the nature of the old man, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So the apostle Peter, amen, was talking about that his job was to continue, amen, to stir us up in remembrance, and remembering that if we do these things, we'll not be barren. We will bring forth, amen, and not bring fruit of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank that, amen, as he reminded, amen, hallelujah, that the Bible says that, amen, that there's an everlasting entrance way into the everlasting kingdom. Amen. And I want to go through Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4 and read verse 16. That they were given to different ones, and they were given to the office there in Numbers 4:16, and to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, which was the priest. The priest pertained to the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is the sanctuary, and the vessels thereof. So the things that pertain to the priest, they have to have the oil for the light. Church, we need to have the oil for the light tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Eli let the light go out in the temple. And tonight, church, we as believers need the oil for the light. We're going to go into that a little bit farther here in just a minute, but we also, he said he had the sweet incense and the daily meat offering. In other words, there was things that were pertaining to their life, was the sweet incense and the daily meat offering and the anointing oil and the oversight of all the tabernacles. So here the ones, the priests, had the oversight of the temple and the sanctuary and the places and the vessels thereof. We need to know that we need to have that anointing. The Bible says, turn with me if you would to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. Hallelujah. The Bible says this, I have written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that you know lies of the truth. John wrote to them, amen, and he wrote to them in this fashion, I write to you tonight because it's not that you don't know the truth, but that you need to know that, amen, that's the truth and there's no lie in it. Verse 22, who is a liar? But he that denied that Jesus is the Christ. Those that, amen, tonight that would deny that the Lord is the Christ, is the anointed one, is the Messiah. They are the liars tonight, amen. We need to know tonight that John says in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Satan was a liar and the father of it. Everything came from him, every lie. Every lie that came, it started out from our enemy. And tonight you need to know, amen, that the things pertaining to life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son The same have not the Father. And so if you deny the Son, you have not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. If there's an acknowledgement, you need to acknowledge, here's the thing pertaining to your life, that needs to be acknowledged of the Son. If you acknowledge the Son, you have the Father also. The Bible says, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall bring the path. There needs to be acknowledgement that the Lord, he is Lord, that the Lord, he is Christ, and the Lord, he is your Savior. These are things that pertain to your life and everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we find, amen, verse 24 says, let that therefore abide in you. In other words, live in you, which you have heard from the beginning. The Bible says that my words abide in you in John chapter 15, and ye abide in me. You can ask whatsoever you will, amen, and he will give it for you. You need to know tonight, he said, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. So as you come to that which is from the beginning, you need to know tonight that Jesus Christ is the beginning, amen. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, amen. The first and the last. You need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the thing that pertains to life, to the beginning of your life and ending of your life. He is that which was, which is, and which is to come. Amen. And we find, amen, tonight, amen, that the Bible says in verse 25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. You need to know, amen, that the thing pertaining to life, the promise of God, the promise of the divine nature, the promise of the divine promise, amen, tonight, is eternal life, amen. These are the things pertaining to life. These are those things that come, amen. Just like the priest had to have the oil for the light, just like the priest had to have these things in the sanctuary, you have to have these things that pertain to life, amen, because you are the keepers of God's sanctuary. God's temple says, know ye not that ye, amen, are the temple of God, whose temple you are. Do you not know that the Spirit of God wants to dwell in you tonight? Says verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them. Hallelujah. That's a new shoe. The Bible says, when it speaks expressly in the latter days, that they will fall away to new shoes, spiritual doctrines of devils. You need to know tonight, amen, there are those out there underneath this my voice, that there are people trying to seduce you and come you, bring you away from the things that would give you life and eternal life, the things, the little things pertaining to life. Some would come to you and say, you don't need this, don't need that. Some would come to the priest and say, excuse me, the priest, you don't need the oil for the light. You don't need the oil for the light. But we're going to find out here in just a little bit here why we do need the oil for the light. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you. Now, this is representative of the oil. This is representative of Christ, the anointing. This is the anointing of the Spirit. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, the anointing is truth, and it's no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. In other words, you shall abide in the anointing of him. The Bible says in Isaiah 10:27, in that day it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. You need to know tonight that we need to have that oil. We need to have that anointing. We need to have the anointed one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. These are things for life. Amen. He says, and now little children, abide in him. In other words, abide in him who is the anointing, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The anointing's coming. The Lord's coming. He's coming, and when he appears, we are to receive him, amen, as he is. We will not be ashamed, amen. Hallelujah. If we'll abide in him, because see, he's our teacher. The anointing is our teacher. Amen. It's keeping us. It's teaching us all things. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is of him. Everyone that does righteousness is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. We've been talking about things pertaining to life. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to go along with it, with the, talking about the anointing, talking about the oil, talking about the different things, amen, that the little things, amen, that we can't go without. We can't go without faith. We can't go without virtue. We can't go without temperance. We can't go without all these things. The priest can't go without oil. This was pertaining to him. But in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 20, the Bible says this. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Now, this is the father's commandment, and this is the mother's law. Yeah? Bind them continually upon thy heart. In other words, take these and bind them around your heart, and tie them about thy neck. In other words, the law and the commandments of the father and the law of the mother needs to be upon your heart and upon your neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. The commandments and the law will talk with you. The Bible says, that is the man who meditates in his law day and night. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. He shall be like a tree planted by the water. Amen. His leaves shall not fade, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. This is the tree, it represents the tree of life. It says, for the commandment is lamp, and the law is light. The commandment of the Father is our lamp, and the law of the mother is our light. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, hallelujah, thy word is a lamp to my a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. And the Bible says, hallelujah, the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You need the reproof of instruction. In other words, you need the word of God. Amen. That pertains to life. This is the word of life. And the reason to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the son of a strange woman. The very reason that you need the commandment, amen, and the very reason that you need the law is to keep you from that which is strange to you. To keep you from that which is flattering you. To keep you from that which is seducing you. To keep you from that which is teaching you doctrine of the devils. Ending up here, come with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And this is the last group of scriptures I'll be giving to you, and I'll be turning it back over to Brother Eddie. But Matthew 25. Remember how we said, amen, that, hallelujah, that the command is the lamp, and the law is the light. We have here Matthew 25. We have, amen, speaking the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching. Amen. And verse 1 says, shall the kingdom of heaven be? This is God's opinion. Amen. As he was teaching about the different things of the kingdom, talking about here's the parable of the 10 virgins. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins. In other words, the rule of heaven shall be like 10 virgins which took the lamps. What did we say the word of God says? The commandment. Every one of them had lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. All these ten had the lamp. They had the commandments of the Father. They all had lamps. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They took the lamp. In other words, they took the commandments of the Father and took oil with them. It would not keep them from the strange or the flattering things of the world because they took no oil. They had no law. They had no law. They had not the law of the mother. The Bible says, spiritually, the mother's Jerusalem. So they had no foundation. They had the lamp, but they didn't have the light. They had the lamp, but no oil for the light. We can have the vessel tonight, church, but without the light, the lamp does you no good tonight. Without the light of life within you. The Bible says in him was the light, and the light was the life of men.
Amen.
By 10 virgins, amen, we find, amen, that many people get security because they got the lamp. But church tonight, you need to know something. Without the light, it does you no good.
Amen.
And the Bible, the wise took oil with the vessels, with the lamp. Hallelujah. That oil would pertain to life. That oil would save their life. Amen. Hallelujah. That oil was the source of their life.
Yeah, bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, in other words, while he waited, they all slumbered and slept. Amen. Hallelujah. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. At the middle of the night, there was a cry from the bridegroom that Jesus was coming. This is representative of Jesus. The Bible says in Psalms 19 that as the sun goes, amen, amen. I didn't have the church bring that out, but one of the brothers there in the church brought that out when we're talking about hearing the symphony of nature and hearing that. But every day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. When the sun comes up, it's representing each day of the bridegroom coming, amen, out of his closet and coming out, amen. And each day the sun goes across the earth. This is representation of the bridegroom. And you need to know and ask yourself tonight, do you have the light? Do you have the lamp? Most of you, about every one of you will have the lamp. But not all of you will have the oil, that which lights the lamp. And when the bridegroom comes, you'll not be able to go to meet him. You'll not be able to go to him. Church, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming, living on those unbelievers, amen. And he's ministering an everlasting entrance way into his kingdom. But the kingdom of heaven is likened. Half were wise and half were foolish. I don't know about you tonight, but are you the wise version who has the lamp and the light? Or are you the foolish version? You've come with the lamp, but no light, no oil, nothing pertains to life. That was what's in the beginning. He said, let there be light. This is one of the first sacraments. Without the oil, without the anointing, we will teach you and lead you and guide you. Without the Messiah, without the Christ of your life. These are things that pertain not only to this life, but the life to come. And then the Bible says this. There's all these verses. Arose and trimmed the lamps. And the foolish asked to the wise, give us of your oil. For our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself.
Bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And while they were, the light went out here. Well, I'm going to preach you out here. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were not ready, those that were ready went in with him to the church, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us.
Bless you, Lord.
Those that were ready went. Church, you have to be ready tonight. You have to have the lamp and the light. These are the things pertaining to life. When life comes by, when Jesus comes by, when the bridegroom comes, you have to have the lamp and the light. You have to have the commandments and the law. You have to have the father and the mother. You have to have the fool. You have to be ready. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So the door is shut. It will never be opened again, church. We can cry again. And afterwards he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I knew you not. They asked him, they said, Lord, open unto us. Cannot to be. Once the door is shut, he's not going to know. Why is he not going to be? Because you didn't have the anointing, you didn't have the oil, you didn't have the mother, you didn't have his law. Tonight, the thing is, today. We have these precious promises tonight. Right now, right where you're at, you can have the lamp and the light. And you can come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ and go with him to the marriage supper, amen, and be with him forevermore. It's your decision tonight to receive the things pertaining to life. Go ahead, Brother Eddie.
If you're listening, you'd like to call in and be part of this broadcast, call 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. 937-748-6453. Come in there. Tell us who you are and where you're at.
Okay, this is Brother and Sister Green here in Springville, Ohio. It's good
Hello,
to be
Brother
with
Green.
You tonight, and we're just listening in and just thank the Lord that we're saved tonight on our way to heaven. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Obey the Lord there, brother.
All right, I want to read a scripture tonight. Let me see if I can find it here. It's in Isaiah 40. And the Bible says in the 29th verse, it says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Well, I thank the Lord tonight that if we get down to business with God, if we start doing what God would have us to do, I believe tonight the message is on things pertaining to life. And if we want the life of God, we've got to get where God is. We've got to get in His presence. We've got to get in and do the things that He'd have us to do. We have to get in our prayer closet, spend time with God. We have to walk with God, as Enoch walked with God, the Bible said, and was not, for God took him. He got so close to God that one day the Lord just took him on to heaven, praise God. And the Bible said that he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Amen.
And God's a rewarder tonight of those that diligently seek him. The Bible
yes.
tells us he's no respecter of person. I believe it was Peter preaching to Cornelius down at Cornelius' house when he went to preach to the Gentiles, and they had not yet received Christ. But, you know, he went down there and he preached Christ to them, and they received Christ. And the Bible
Amen.
Says they received the Holy Ghost, praise God. And they went back to the council, and they said, God has granted repentance unto the Gentiles. And he made no difference between them and the Jew. And, you know, the Jews kind of thought they had a handle on it, but, you know, they didn't have
bless you, Lord.
A handle on it, praise God. They just, they were God's people in the Old Testament that God had called out, and we're speaking about things pertaining to life tonight. You see, God laid a foundation there in the Old Testament when he called Abraham, and he told Abraham, you know, that he expected people to live by faith, and he taught Abraham. And Abraham believed God, the Bible said, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And we want to be the friend of God. We want the blessings of God. I think I talked about it last week, about Deuteronomy 28, whether we want to be on the blessing side or whether we want to be on the side of the curse. But you see, if we don't get on God's side, then we're going to be under the curse. We're automatically under the curse, and that's why Christ came to die. But he laid that foundation in the Old Testament, and he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he gave them the laws. And the Bible said the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and it taught them the way to live and how that they should live to please God. And
yeah, bless you, Lord.
And we go over into the New Testament, and we find out there was another covenant that I believe Jeremiah in the Old Testament said that the Lord was going to make another covenant with the house of Israel. Praise
yeah,
God. Not
you,
like the one where he took them by the hand, led them out of Egypt. But this would be a new covenant. Praise God. And that he was, Moses said there was he was going to raise up one from among them, which if they did not hear this one, that they'd be cut off from among the people. That one was Jesus Christ. He came in the form of man, you know, and was speaking about things pertaining to life. The Bible said that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and he had
yes.
given it
Amen.
In the Old Testament. He was laying a foundation to point to Christ that was to come. And he'd have the high priest, you know, would take the lamb once a year, and they would slay the lamb, and they would go into the most holy place once a year, the high priest, with the blood of that lamb, praise God. And I know it goes into greater depth than that, but basically Christ is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed to him one day on the river bank and said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
Amen.
And I tonight, we have to have our sins under the blood of Christ. We have to have our sins.
Amen.
Praise God. If we're going to have life, the Bible said that the thief cometh but for to kill, to steal, destroy. But he said, I am come. Jesus was speaking there in John 10:10. Said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundant. Praise God. I'm glad for that abundant life tonight that I have in me. Praise God. That I have in me everlasting life. That,
amen.
You know, when this old world's, when it's all over and done and everything's settled and done, you know, and the roll is called up yonder, I believe I'll be there, Brother Eddie. I believe my name.
Bless you, Lord.
In the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. Well, it's real good to be with you. I don't know if Joanna's got anything tonight. She might have something. I might say something a little later, but I'm so glad that I'm born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood.
Amen.
You know, if it hadn't been for the blood of Jesus, we'd still be in our sin. If Christ had not come, the Bible said that the blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin. And
amen.
So we would still be lost. But I thank God for grace tonight.
Yes.
You know, grace is something that we didn't earn, praise God. But the Lord worked it out that we could have eternal life. And he worked it out all the way from the Garden of Eden, all the way up to the Book of Revelation, praise God. He tells us in his word all the good things that we need to know that we can have eternal life. I believe it was John that said, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Praise God.
Bless you, Lord.
So I'm glad tonight that I have things that pertain to life, and the Word of God is what I have. And that's what I put my trust and faith in, is the Word of God. And Jesus said, if you do these things, if you keep my word, he said, you will know whether or not I'm from God. You'll know whether or not I'm real.
Amen.
And I know the Lord's real tonight. You know, I'm not, you know, just groping in the dark or whatever, but I know Jesus is alive. Praise God. You know, Paul preached him after he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul, he said, Jesus is alive. He said, I met him on that road one day, and they didn't understand Paul. They thought, well, we killed that man. We put him on a cross, and we crucified him, and we know that he's dead. We put him in a grave, and, you know, we rolled a stone across the door, and you know, it was all over. They said, you know, when they took him down from the cross, they examined him. They said he's dead. And they took him and put him in that borrowed tomb, praise God. But he didn't stay in that tomb, praise God. He came out
Amen.
Of there. And I'm so glad that he came out of there, that we might know today that we're also going to come out one day, praise God. And I'm just so glad that I know about this Savior, praise God, that his name is Jesus, and there's none other name among men. Given among men, the Bible said there in Acts 4:12, I believe it is, said, whereby that we might be saved. It's only by and through that name of Jesus Christ. And
Amen.
He has received him, the Bible said in John 1:12, I believe it is, he said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as believed on him, praise God, and believed on his name, praise God. And I'm so glad. I believe on that name of Jesus. I know there's power in the name of Jesus. I know that one day every
yes.
tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I'm so glad tonight that I've got my name in that book of life. Praise God. One day the books will be open. And I believe, Brother Eddie, my name's going to be in that book. Praise God. I have
Amen.
Salvation tonight. I'm not worried when I go to bed at night and lay my head on the pillow. I don't have to worry if something happens to me where I'm going, because I made preparation for that mansion in the sky, because Christ paid it at Calvary 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to turn it back to you, Brother Eddie, or Sister Green. Have you got something to say? I guess Sister Green got something to say here.
Praise
go right
God.
Ahead.
Good to be with you again. Thanking the Lord for saving us and keeping us, and thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to speak to somebody out there, whether they're backslid or just don't know the Lord at all. You know, there's life in Jesus Christ. And I was thinking here in Galatians 6 and 8, says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And you know, I was thinking about a seed, Brother Eddie, when you plant it into the ground, that seed has to die so that it can be able to grow and germinate and all those things. And that's how we have to be in the kingdom of God, is when we die out to ourselves and we die out to sin and we put off the old things and the former ways of the way we were, and there's a change that comes into our life. Jesus said to choose ye life or death. He said, "I say choose life." So he told us what to do, and he told Nicodemus that must be born again. And we've got to put away the old Adam, and the first Adam couldn't do it. And when we're born into this world, we're of the first Adam, and we must die out to that first Adam and come through the tree. It was by a tree in the garden that took us away from God, the tree of knowledge, and it was by the tree, praise God, the hanging on the tree of Jesus that he done for us. And we look upon that tree as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and we look upon that tree. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, that all men would be drawn unto myself." And so we look upon that tree, and we look toward Jesus, praise God, and we die out to our sin, and we repent. And that's how we have life everlasting, is through him, praise God. You know, I'm a medical assistant in the medical field, and we draw blood and at some times, and they say that the life is in the blood. And the life is in the blood of Jesus. And I want to introduce somebody tonight. I want him to, if he would, just give a brief testimony. We have brother and sister Neil and Amanda Simpson in our home, and they're visitors. You know, we're in the United States, and it's not every day that you get visitors from Nicaragua. And they're from the States, but they're missionaries. And we're so blessed to have them here with us in our home. And if they would, I just would love for them just to testify and just obey God and just say what they want.
Amen.
The Lord is so good to us. I'm so thankful to have this opportunity to speak tonight. I was thinking about a scripture out of Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. It says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And, you know, the Lord has really brought me a long way. I have a great testimony. At the age of 25, I had my second child, and with that, I was diagnosed with cancer shortly after that. And it was very devastating to my family, me having two young children and being married. It was a shock to us. And we began to go through chemotherapy, many PET scans, spent a lot of time in the hospital, but I realized the importance of life at that time when my life was on the line. But God miraculously stepped in after 6 years. When it seemed like my body couldn't take any more chemotherapy, there I was laying in the bed, and the doctors didn't know what to do for me. I had a temperature of 105, had contracted 5 different infections, but God stepped in the room. He changed our whole lives around us, the way we looked at life. And not only did he heal my body and set me free of that cancer, but there was so much that he done for us spiritually when he set our lives free spiritually. We realized that we had put on a mask for so long and that it was time for us to give ourselves fully unto God. And so at that point, God really began to deal with us, and we realized that this life is so short. And we were faced with the decision of whether we were going to give him our everything or whether we were going to go hold back. And this was in June of 2010 when I was healed of the cancer. And by November, my husband, Neil Simpson, was standing in Africa delivering the word of God. That following year, we got the opportunity to move to Nicaragua in Central America. And we had done mission work there for a year and a half. But God has taken that, and I thought about this scripture, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. And you know, this, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard, but we know that life in Christ,
amen,
his burden is easy and his yoke is,
yes,
light. When we take up that cross and follow him, that it changes everything, and in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures and more. There's no other place in this world I would rather be than right in the center of God. And some people think that,
amen,
we're crazy. We put our lives on the line. We take our two small children and go to another country. But I tell you the truth, the safest place to be is in right in the center of God's will. I've heard so many stories about people that did not obey God and terrible, terrible things come upon them. But I know my joy is fulfilled in Christ, and I'm so glad to be able just to share a brief part of my testimony with you. And I'm thankful for this life that Christ has given.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
My name is Neil Simpson, and we appreciate allowing us to speak tonight. Thank you for the opportunity. We thank the Lord for his grace and mercy. We know Scripture says that his anger endureth for a moment, but in his favor there is life. And
yeah,
weeping endures for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. Jesus, working through Paul said in his heart that we are bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also, Jesus, might be made manifest in us. He then said that death worketh in us, but life in you. And this is the Christian life. It is a principle that we live by, that we long for, that God moves in us, that if we are going to give this gospel unto a lost world, and if the church will be effective, it'll be effective because she ends and God lives through her. And we appreciate everything we've already heard tonight, brother. Appreciate the ministry that God is using, that the voices of the ministers that are a flame of fire for God can go out and preach unto this dying world. And we love you, brother. God bless you. Thank you very much.
And God bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. If you want to be part of this broadcast, call in to 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. Sister Green, did you get done, or are you still?
No, brother, you go right ahead. I'm finished. Thank you.
I wasn't trying to jump ahead of you, darling. I just... Well, anyway, have we got anybody on that would wants to obey the Lord there? Well, let's play another song here by the Branhams, A Reason to Sing. praise the Lord. It's good to be in on this broadcast this evening. And we appreciate every home that we're coming in contact with this evening. If everybody that's got your radio on or got the internet on, and I'd like to say a few words here if I can and read some scripture in the 23rd Psalm. It's a psalm that you know and that I know, and we probably know and memorized when we were just children. And we're talking this evening about the things that pertain to this life. And it said, in, starting in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Brother, whenever they're the sheep, they look to the shepherd, and the shepherd leads them sheep. And he causes those sheep to go out. He finds them food, and he finds them water to drink. And, brother, he makes sure that they're taken care of. And when the wild animals come around and try to take the sheep out of the fold and try to take their life and try to, they try to destroy them, then he takes that big long rod and that big staff, and he turns them off. And he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. And brother, when these green pastures, they know that he leads us to have food to eat. And brother, he takes care of us. And the Bible said that the fowls of the air, that the Lord takes care of them. And brother, I want you to know tonight that there's a way made that God will take care of his people. And brother, it takes food to eat today for us to live. And brother, I want you to know that God, he will make a way for us, and we'll not have to worry about it. And brother, we might get down to our last meal, but that don't mean that God has forgot us, brother. That means brother, we need to give thanks for what God has given us and what he's given us already. And brother, we need to expect God to move today. Brother, one thing God taught me a long time ago was to be praying for somebody, and the words "expect a miracle" would be wrote on my spirit. And I just pray that, expecting the Lord, I expect a miracle. And I've seen God move a lot of times, brother. Whenever I pray like that he would move it, and he would give the miracle. And I know that this thing is not a thing about a material possession and that, but I know that sometimes, brother, maybe we've got a vehicle that needs to be repaired, and God, we need a move from God to help us get that done, to carry the work of the Lord on out. And brother, we might even get down to, we need a pair of shoes. And brother, I want you to know God will take care of that. The Bible says, what things soever that you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. Brother, there's peace and joy in the Lord. In fact, to the Spirit is peace and joy, and another one is love. Brother, the Bible says, you know, you pass from death to life because you love the brethren. I tell you today that the people that you once hated, when once that you're saved, brother, you love those people because it's not something that you've got to learn to do. It's because the Spirit of God moves into your heart. The Bible says that God is love, and everyone that is born of God loves us. And brother, I want you to know today that whenever that love of God is down into your heart, what's in your heart is what's in your life. That's how you are, brother. And that love of God will cause you to reach out and hug people that used to be your enemies. It'll cause you to hug their neck. It'll cause you to reach out and to show them the love of God that passes all understanding. He said, he restores my soul. Brother, there's problems that come up once in a while, but if we're not careful, it'll cause us to get our mind off of the Lord, and it'll cause us to get our mind on everything in the world except the Lord. But I want you to know today that whenever that God begins to, when we begin to turn to the Lord, then God begins to, he begins to move in our behalf, and he begins to move that we might be able to go on, brother, and that we might be able to
and live for him, and that we might be renewed. I believe that a Lord one writer said to rent, for when there are times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. Father, in these times of refreshing, Lord, restore us and cause us to walk forward in a way that brother, that will help us to go on forward and brother, and live for the Lord and be a Christian and walk a Christian life. And they said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name. Our brother, we need to walk in that path of righteousness. He said, my God, justify all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Brother, I want you to know tonight that whenever they say, brother, when he supplies our need, he's not talking about one or two things. He's talking about what the things that we have need of. And brother, I'm here to tell you tonight that God will hear you and he'll answer you. Brother, and he will move in the situation, whatever that it might be. But he said here that he would do it for his name's sake. He said, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Brother, ain't it wonderful to know tonight that Jesus is walking with us? When we get down and it looks like that there's nothing that can be done to help us, that world just right down facing death right in the face, that Jesus is right there with us. He didn't say we'd walk through the valley of death. He said we'd walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Brother, death might cast its shadow, but I'll tell you today that Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Oh, I'll tell you tonight, folks, whenever Jesus begins to walk with us and go with us to these places, we can go with peace and we'll not have to worry about it. Oh, I'm so glad tonight that he's with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor I'll never forsake you. But he said, I'll go with you all the way even to the end of the world. Oh, I'm so glad tonight that Jesus is right there with us to walk with us, to talk with us, brother, and to lead us in the way that we should go. He said in Romans 8:14, he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, he said, they are the sons of God. And I thank God tonight that he is. Bless God, he leads us. He sent his Spirit, he said, I'm going away. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. He said, because if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But he said, I'm going away, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. Brother, I want you to know tonight that Comforter has come. When they were all assembled together on the day of Pentecost in the upper room there, brother, that Bible said they were of one mind and one accord, and suddenly there come a sound from heaven like as of a mighty rushing wind. Brother, and it said they were tongues of fire set upon each one of them. Listen to me tonight, brother, whenever the Spirit of God come, Peter, who was a chicken, brother, he denied the Lord three times. But after that, the Spirit of God come on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and he preached to a crowd of people, and I believe the Bible said that there were 3,000 that was added unto the Lord that day. Listen to me tonight, brother, whenever he sent his Spirit, he come to lead us and to guide us and direct us. And that reminds me again where Paul and Silas was going through the country, and they was going to go in one place, and they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach in that area, and then they were going to go into another area, and they were forbidden by the Spirit of God to preach in that place. But then again, brother Paul had a night vision and saw a man from Macedonia said, come on over here and help us. Listen, they went down there and they began to preach to the people, and there was a woman with a spirit of divination come up, and Paul rebuked the spirit and commanded it to come out of the woman, and brother, it caused Paul and it caused Silas to be whipped and thrown into the inner jail. But you know what? Bless God, they got the man come, and he was a jailer, and brother, he would have took his own life, but Paul told him, hollered at him and told him, said, I'll do myself no harm. And brother, whenever that he come in and he fell down, and he said, what must I do? be saved. Bless God, God's Spirit was leading them, and He let them be persecuted so this man and his family could be saved. You see, this jailer took Paul and Silas out and took them down to his house. He took them down to the house. Bless God, they got there and they cleaned them up, the wounds that they received. They cleaned them up and they wiped the blood. They wiped the blood down and everything. And brother, I want you to know today that whenever they cleaned them up, they took them and baptized them. And oh, I tell you tonight, they were saved because they were willing to go through this persecution to be led by the Spirit of God. Is this phone still on? Can somebody tell me? Hello?
Okay,
I didn't know if it made a big noise. I didn't know if it went off or not. But he said here, he said, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And brother, when that sheep gets out into the broad patch, brother, that shepherd reaches in there with that staff and gets a hold of them and pulls them out of that broad patch. They get in a dangerous place and he saves that sheep. And they said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Thank God tonight for that anointing that God sends to his people. That John, I believe it was John talking about it, and I believe Brother Green talked about some, that anointing God. He said in Isaiah 10:27, he said that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And I thank God tonight for that anointing that God has given to his people. I thank God for that Spirit of God that he's given us. And we're talking tonight on the things that pertain to life. And brother, how does anybody live without the Spirit of God in their life to lead them and guide them? I would hate to face brother, some kind of hard problem come up, or sickness, and maybe even down to the point of death, and maybe even in death. And I would hate to face that without the Spirit of God to help me, brother, to go through that, to bear up under that, and to go through that. But I'll tell you what, tonight, that the Spirit of God will help us. He'll lead us and guide us and direct us, brother, that we can go on and to do the work of the Lord, the thought of the Lord tonight. Oh, I'm so glad tonight that God has chosen us. It's not that we've chosen him, but it's that he has chosen us. I thank God tonight, brother, that God is with us. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. Brother, I'll tell you what, whenever he was standing there and then he was taken up out of their sight in the clouds, the two angels stood there and said, one of them said, oh, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the cloud? For he'll come again in that manner. And brother, I want you to know they've been away rejoicing. And brother, here today, we can rejoice today because of the things that God has done for us. These things that God has given us pertaining to life. He's given us faith today. Bless God that we can believe that Jesus died for us and rose again. Brother, he's given us that. He's given us an anointing today. Brother, that we can go out and be a witness to him and into wherever that we might be, or wherever we might go. We're not in. I believe it was Brother Yearwood said one time here on broadcast that he said, I'm not in Jerusalem. But brother, listen, it's wherever that we're at today. We can be a witness to the Lord, brother, because of this anointing that he's given us, and he's provided a way. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. But Christ Jesus, God has made a way, and he will make a way that our need will be took care of. Sometimes we sell God short, and we think God's not big enough to do the thing that we need him to do in our life. But I want you to know something, honey. God is big enough. He's more than enough, brother, to meet our need. He's more than enough to take care of us and to help us, and He will tonight. Oh, it's been said, my doubt runneth my head, but though my cup runneth over. Oh, it's said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Brother, I hear the brother Gordon Kilbert up in Fairborn, Ohio, one time. He talked about this goodness and mercy. He called it two angels of God. And brother, I want you to know tonight, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, as long as we decide that we're going to live for Jesus, and as long as we walk forth in a way that's pleasing to Him, as long as we walk in His will and His way, mercy and goodness will follow us. Oh, the enemy might come in. He said in the book, I believe it's of Isaiah, and I can't recall the chapter, but he said, when the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And brother, I want you to know tonight that God will take your part. He'll fight your battles for you. He'll help you. He'll help me. He'll help whoever will call on Him. Brother, we don't call on the Lord in vain, but we call on the Lord out of a pure heart, out of a true heart tonight. Brother, when we do, God, bless God, He will answer us. He will hear us. He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Bless God, and a lot of people's messing up there around about the country today. They'll say that they're Christian, but you can't get them into the house of God. They won't go to the house of God. Let me tell you something. If I want to come and see you, I'll come to your house and come and see you and visit you. And it's the same way with God. And a lot of time people say, well, my brother, that's just a building. It might be just a building, but it's a building that was dedicated and consecrated to come together to worship God. Even, and that's where people come together to meet with God. Jesus said, there's as many as two or three gathered together in His name, that He'd be in the midst of them. And the Bible said in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, about the 25th verse, He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and much more so as we see the day approaching. Brother, God wants us to come together. God wants us to come together and worship together. He wants us to come out to the house of God. Oh, I thank God for this radio broadcast. I thank God for being on it, and I thank God for each one that's on it tonight. Oh, praise God tonight. I just thank God. And if you want to be part of this broadcast, if you'd like to get on there, and you'd like to obey the Lord, call 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. Praise the Lord. Somebody come here. John, come in there and obey the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Green? Brother Green.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, there you are. I thought I got disconnected there.
No. You're still on. Praise God. Coming through loud and clear.
Go ahead and obey the Lord some more there.
Okay, I'll read a scripture here in Joshua. Joshua 1 and 8. This book, let me back up a little bit here. It says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, and notice what he said here, he said, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Praise God, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We're talking about things pertaining to life tonight.
And, you know, God has not changed. Many times people change. We may change from day to day, some of us. You know, we find some people that seem like they never change. They're always steadfast, and the Bible tells us to be steadfast and unmovable.
Amen.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord. But we find a lot of times that people have laid down the cross. They started out good. They did run well, the Bible said, but who did hinder you?
Yeah.
They run into some hindrances, and they laid down the cross somewhere. And they laid down the work that God gave them to do. And some of them did run well, praise God. I was thinking about there in Galatians where Paul said, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And, you know, some people have gotten contact with false doctrine and things and have turned them aside. And we're talking about things pertaining to life.
You
know, we've got to stay in this, in the middle of this road. We cannot go to the right hand or the left hand. And God told Joshua, said, don't you go to the right or the left. Don't you get off course, Joshua, but be very courageous. Be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. See, at that point in time, praise God, at that point in time, they was under the law. And that's what they had to live by. They had to live by the law. If they did not live by the law, they could not be justified. Praise God. We know after that Christ has come today, we can't go back under the law and be justified. We must go by this new covenant that we have. But we know that God is not a man that he should lie. The Bible says, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. But hath he not spoken it, shall he not make it good? I think he told Balaam, when Balaam went up on the mountain trying to curse God's people, but you see there that God also said one place, I believe it's about that time, he said that that he is God and he changes not. So we go back in the Old Testament, we find out that God wanted them to keep the word is what it comes down to. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, he said, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then, he said, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, a lot of times we're missing the mark in the Christian life. We're not doing what God's called us to do. He's told us many things that we have to do. We have to lay aside all the things that defile. He said to touch not the unclean thing, to come out from among them. He's talking about the worldly ways, you know, and people are living in sin. We're not to run with the sinners. I know we have to preach to them. We have to tell them, you know, that Jesus died for them. But we should be a separated people unto the Lord. We
Amen.
Can't go and do the things that they do and be justified. We can't come down to their level and try to win them over to be a Christian. We must set a standard, praise God.
Amen.
We must hold a high standard. The church is the greatest I don't know whether you would call it organization, what you would call it. Praise God, but it's the body of Christ, and we're members. And we're a city set up on a hill which cannot be hid. Praise God. When I go out, you know, and go about my daily work or whatever, around the house, or I held a job for 30 years and retired from that job, but I went in there. I was a Christian man the last probably 20 years that I worked on that job, and I didn't go in there telling dirty jokes, and I didn't go in there with alcohol on my breath. I didn't go in there smelling like a giant cigarette or nothing like that. No, I went in there clean living. I went in there living right. I went in there with words, you know, that would try to cause people to want to come to Christ. I didn't go in there trying to tickle people's ears and stuff, you know, tell them funny things to make them laugh. And, but no, I went in there with a sound mind and right spirit, praise God, because the Lord got his hand on me one day, praise God. And he turned me around. I was a living, you know, at one time I was a living like most people do, just, you know, going about doing my own thing, never thinking about God. But one day the Lord got a hold on me, praise God. And I tell you, I've never been the same, praise God. But the Bible says here that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You see, they was living under the law, and they had to live by that law if they wanted to have life eternal, praise God. Praise God, because one day there was going to come a man called Christ to die on a cross and shed the blood that would cleanse them from all sin. Praise God. And praise God. But under the law, it was kind of like a credit card, I guess you could say. You know, you go to the bank and you buy stuff with a credit card and they'll accept it. But one day payment has to be made, and one day Jesus came and died on that cross when the fullness of time was coming. We're talking about things that pertain to life. It was the life of the flesh. The Bible said the life of the flesh was in the blood, and I believe it's in Leviticus where he said, and I have given it unto you upon the altar for an atonement for your soul. Praise God. I tell you, we have to have this life applied to our life. I'm not going to say too much more. I don't know if Sister Green said anything. But don't turn to the right hand nor to the left hand, but keep your eyes on Jesus, praise God. And don't you go astray, and don't you get on the wrong road, praise God. If you're on that road tonight, I just want to tell you, you can get back on the right road. There's grace. There's mercy. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll find out that that's the greatest to me, personally, when I read that. That's the greatest book to the backslider I believe I've ever read. Praise God. How God suffered
Thank
a
you,
long
Lord.
Time. And he tried to call them back to repentance, but they wouldn't come back. Praise God. But I'm going to turn it. But you can come back tonight if you're out there and you're I wandered away. You can come back. The door of mercy is still open, and time is still ticking on. Praise God. And the door of mercy is open, and there is salvation available to you. And I turn it to you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, Brother Eddie. You know, I was thinking how when we do these broadcasts, how we'll get a subject going, and each minister that gets on here, we don't discuss with one another what we're going to talk about, except for we know that there's a subject here. So this could go any way with this when we talk about life. And I wanted to say that John 1 and 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Bible talks about how he came to his own. We're talking about the Word of God, how Jesus came down and took upon him flesh, and he made himself lower than the angels. And it said that many works he could not do for their unbelief. And how, you know, even when Jesus was here and doing miracles, the Sadducees, Pharisees tried to catch him at his word and stuff. But, you know, the Bible talks about greater is them that have seen. But even, these are my own words here because I don't remember right where it's at. But you can find it in the Bible. Even greater is him that believe and have not seen. So we're to be like this. Psalms 1 and 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by water, rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And Psalms 92 and 14 says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall not be fat and flourishing. The Bible that to me that talks about there's a, let me read that again. Psalms 92 and 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall not be fat and flourishing. And that to me, that's no retirement in this.
in our old age, we should still be living like we did when we first got saved, trying to please the Lord and to be, the, you know, Jesus came, he was the light of the world, and he said, I must go away expediently to the Father, and if I go away, he said, I'll pray that the Comforter will come, praise
Amen.
The Lord, back to you, and praise the Lord. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And John 14, chapter 14, he says, the works that I do, ye may do also. He said, even greater works shall ye do. Praise the Lord. So we are to do the works that Christ did. We're to be a city set up on the hill and pointing them to the Lord, to have eternal life with Christ. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Eddie, and good to be with you, and thank God for this, your opportunity again. Like I said, if you've never tasted of that tree, I suggest that you try the Lord and see that he is good. He says to do that. We can find him in the volume.
Amen.
He is from Genesis all the way to the maps, praise the Lord, all the way through Revelation. We can find Christ, and that is the only way in. If the man try to enter any other way, is the same as a thief and a robber, and we must die out to ourselves, die out, like I said earlier, to the first Adam, and we must take on the new, the second Adam, praise the Lord, and which gives us eternal life. Go ahead, Brother Eddie.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for that. We thank God for each thing that's been said to lift the name of Jesus tonight. And if you're listening and you want to call in and be part of this broadcast, call in to 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. John, are you there?
I'm still here, my brother.
Praise the Lord. I think I cut you off a while ago. I didn't mean to do that, brother. Go ahead and obey the Lord, brother.
That. Tonight we are, as Brother and Sister Green, Brother Ed brought out, and the missionaries from Guatemala, is so good to have them coming on board. Amen. And just praise the Lord for all these speakers. And just like the missionary said, that he's made all his ministers flames of fire. Tonight we are talking about things pertaining to life. And we do approach it differently because as believers, we know that Jesus is life. And we know he is the light of our life. And we know that he has led us. Still with Romans chapter 15, Apostle Paul writing again to the church at Rome, starting with verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. You have to understand that the purpose of the Word of God is for us to learn. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for I am meek and lowly. We have this Word of God, and we are to learn. In the beginning, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that Jesus Christ is the Word. We know that Jesus Christ is the Word that makes flesh and blood among us. We know that the writings that are in these books are written for us to learn, that we, with patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God wants you to have hope tonight, and that hope only comes through the Scriptures and the Word of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, that we be comforted. The time of learning says, now the God of patience and consolation, which means comfort, grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. In other words, we are to have the one mind. We are to be like-minded, of one mind and one accord, just like Brother Ed brought out earlier, that they were one mind and one accord in that upper room. Tonight, we need to come one mind and one accord all across this world right now in the name of Jesus. Because
Amen.
We are receiving, we are sitting down. Jesus sat down in the temple and began to teach, amen, even as a young man, even at the very age of 12, amen, and they were just amazed at his teaching. You have to understand tonight what is happening, amen. A lot of times, of course, all of us, most of us that have been on this broadcast, down through the different broadcasts, and also Brother and Sister Green's on Friday night, but we've had evangelistic experience a lot of times. But there is, all of us, some of us have been in the apostle anointing, some of us have been in the prophet anointing, some of us have been in the evangelist anointing, some of us have been pastor and teacher. I believe tonight, amen, that not only in the evangelistic, but I believe tonight as the Lord is sitting down all across this globe, amen, and speaking to the speaking to because of many times that as they learned. And so much of the time we've been in evangelistic mode, I guess you would call her in the office of the evangelistic. But I believe that as we go line to line, precept upon precept, as some of them have, but the Bible says here in verse 5, it says, now the God of patience and constant.
Bless you, Lord.
One mind and one mouth. Glorify God. When we become one mind, we'll become one mouth. When we become one mind, we'll become one mouth. There's one Lord, and there's one faith, and there's one baptism. And we become one mouth. That mouth will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word that's coming forth will be his word. Just like Sister Green said, we don't get together and say, this is what we take a subject. We take one subject, whatever the Holy Spirit leads us to speak on this program and on their program. And we just exhort upon it. Amen. That's the thing. Many times the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall be every word said. The Holy Spirit might deal with this on the same subject, on the same scriptures, over and over again. There, all it's doing is establish a witness, a testimony, and those of you that are listening. So, wherefore we receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, tonight, if you're receiving the word of God, you're receiving us. Bible says, whatsoever you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. If you received us, and you know what? Whosoever receives us that sent us. In other words, as Christ has sent us, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. As we have been sent, every one of us, every speaker on this program tonight has been sent by the Lord. As you receive the word that is spoken, you're receiving the Lord Jesus Christ right now, right where you're at. You're receiving his mouth. This is his body. And you need to know tonight that now I say, verse 8, that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. In other words, he was the Messiah. He began to speak unto the Gentiles. He began to speak unto those outside the realm of the Jewish realm to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. In other words, amen, there was a universal call. Tonight, there's that same universal call. That same universal call going out tonight, that every one of you can have the things that pertain to hope. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter whether you're bond or Greek. Doesn't matter, amen, whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter where you are or where you're at or where you come from or your background. Doesn't matter your financial status. You can have everything pertaining to life tonight. Opportunity.
Amen.
Well, amen, amen. He looks upon the heart of man, amen. Hallelujah. When he chose, amen, the king, his king, amen. They had chosen a king, but when they chose his king, he chose the man after his own heart. Tonight, amen, the Bible says, and again he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles. We have his people. In other words, he said, it's time for you to rejoice. Those that had been added on, those that had came in, it's time for you to rejoice with those that were there in the beginning. It's time for you to rejoice, amen, with the original ones that had received. And it's time for us to come together, amen, because some of us, amen, were in the original, and some of us were grafted in. Some of us tonight have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we may cry, Abba, Father, which means my Father. You need to know tonight that all of us as believers have the same Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And Lord of all. And you need to know, amen. He said, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and Lord him. Amen. Amen. Means that you can rejoice in him, all you people. And again, that means Isaiah said, there shall be a root of blessing, and he shall rise and reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. That root of Jesse is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You want God to fill you, church. God to fill you with the things of life. He wants to fill you with his hope. He wants to fill you with his joy. He wants to fill you with his peace. He wants to fill you with his love. He wants to fill you with his power. And you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be martyrs unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. We see this, amen, that as this sister, amen, suffered cancer, healed by the power of God. She could have laid down her life, but she did lay down her life. Amen. When she laid down her life, amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I feel this. Amen. When, thank you, Lord. When the Lord, amen, had taken Abraham and Isaac, taking up there, and amen, to that place, and they had the wood and the fire, amen, the things that pertain to life, but they didn't have the sacrifice. And God, Abraham spoke and told that he and the lad would go yonder and worship, but come again. You need to know tonight, amen, that when you get there tonight, amen, this brother and sister that are now missionaries in Guatemala and we're there in Africa, God had chosen them to speak all over the world, amen. And that's a great privilege because he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. And go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel and teaching them to do whatsoever I have commanded you. There again, going back to the lamp, they have given them the lamps. But the good thing about it, there are many people giving lamps out tonight. But do you have the light? Do you have the oil? Do you have the things pertaining to life? We've had many tornadoes and many disasters, amen. A lot of people have the light. You know what? Tonight, amen, the flesh. Right, without the batteries, doesn't mean a thing. Tonight, we have to have the full meal deal tonight. Amen. And as Isaac and them got there, amen, and even as he was bound on the altar of sacrifice, hallelujah, the angel there spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, now I know. And there, amen, where they got there was a ram caught in the bush. And that ram was significant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know tonight that there's a ram in the bush. That's the place that you made the sacrifice will be the place of your provision. He will be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our God who will see to your provision. That's a place of sacrifice will become your provision tonight. To the very time and point. Amen. You want to have love? What does the Bible say? Lay it down. You want to receive love? What does the Bible say? Greater love had no man than this than to lay down your life for a friend. Jesus Christ laid down his life because they couldn't take it. Amen. The same pertaining to life is even those that subdued him, even those that nailed him to the cross, even those that mocked him. Maybe you're part of that crowd tonight, but you know what? They blindfolded him and smited him. They had to blindfold him because the Bible says in the Songs of Solomon, he had the eyes of a dove. He had the eyes of that lovebird. You need to know that his eyes are fully woke tonight. Amen. And they couldn't stand to look upon him. They knew that love was coming from his eyes. But you need to know things pertain to life. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and I almost have persuaded of you, my brethren, that you would be full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in saying for it, as putting, amen, you, hallelujah, hallelujah, in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I, to be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the suffering of the Gentiles neither be, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I make glory through Jesus Christ that these things which pertain to God. These are things pertaining to God. What is it? The ministry unto the world. That's the things pertaining to God. That's the things pertaining to life. This preaching, this gospel, this word is the things pertaining to life. He said, I therefore, amen, said verse 18, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. In other words, he said, I'm not going to speak anything but the word of God. Tonight, because we don't have to speak anything but the word of God. There are many people trying to go away from the word of God. There are many people trying to do this and trying to date that and trying to add that and trying to take this away. But tonight, church, all we need is the word of God. This is the thing that pertains to life. And he said, yea, I've tried to preach the gospel there in verse 20. Not where Christ was known, lest I should be built upon another man's foundation. In other words, Paul said, look, I'm going to come and I'm going to preach Jesus Christ. Not where another one's already preaching. Not where another one's already building up. I'm going to preach where he's not being preached. I'm going to speak where he's not being spoken. And tonight, church, amen. Hallelujah. We're speaking the word of God into places that have not been spoken the word of God. We're speaking the Lord Jesus Christ and the things pertaining to life. For those of you, many of you that might not even know what life is. But you know what? Just like Brother Eddie brought out to us, he said in John chapter 10, I've come that you might have life and have more abundantly. For it is written to whom it was not spoken of. That they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, myself also. I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now I have no more place in this place. In other words, you know what? Paul said, look, I don't have any more place in this, so I'm coming to you. And you know what? Right now, we might be surrounded with someone who will not receive, or even churches that are not receiving the Word of God, but you know what? We're coming to you, and Jesus Christ is coming to you right now, church. Will you receive
Praise
him?
You,
will you receive the Word? And will you receive right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? It takes it by prayer. It takes it by confessing. It takes it by believing. Will you receive the things pertaining to life right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Go ahead, Brother Ed.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for that Word. We've not prayed for, in fact, not said anything about any prayer requests being given in. But if you've got a prayer request and you'd like to send it in, call it in at 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. And we want to pray over your broadcast. We want to see, over your request. And we want to see God move for you. We want to see God bless you. We want to see God move in your behalf and show himself to you. And I've heard a lot of stories about how that God has worked miracles in the lives of people, just like this sister from, this missionary from Honduras, that Brother and Sister Green's up there, how that God healed her of cancer. And it was by prayer that God works these things. God's people starts praying, and God starts moving, and God starts, he said, ask, and you would receive. He said, to seek, and you shall find. He said, knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. To him that seeketh, he findeth. And to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened. Now, I want to read a little bit here in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. And it says, now there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And brother, I'll tell you, God is calling people to go into the work of the Lord. He's calling them to go out and to preach the gospel. Oh, I'll tell you tonight, there's nothing like going out and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is with us, and God will help us, and God will make a way. And he said here that, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Brother, God is wanting people to open their mouth. He said, to go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. And brother, I want you to know tonight that God is looking for somebody. And brother, that'll go in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. You can read where Isaiah was praying one day, and he was down and he was seeking God. And brother, he's seen a vision of God, and he said that the doorpost shook, and brother, the temple was filled with his presence, and he said that his train was there. And brother, he said he heard the Lord saying, who'll go, who shall we see, and who'll go? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. And brother, I know today that it's not easy to go out a lot of times, and brother, and to serve God, that I know that there's people that don't appreciate what you do, but there is people that's got to be reached. And brother, I thank God for people who are missionaries, who are on the field, brother, because a lot of times that's the only way that people will hear the gospel. And brother, I'll tell you today that if we're willing and obedient, the Bible says that we'll eat the good of the land. And brother, I want you to know today that whenever that we set our mind on serving God, that God will begin to move, and we'll begin to see God as he begins to show himself to us. And brother, I want you to know tonight that God is looking for people who's willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me, just like Isaiah did. And I'll tell you what the Bible said in the 11th chapter
Now, the book of Hebrews said they wandered about in the mountains and in the caves and in sheepskin and goatskin, been destitute. Listen to me, brother. They done that because, brother, what they found was worth more than all the things of the world. I'll tell you tonight, it's the greatest thing ever was to serve the Lord. And, brother, God is looking for somebody. And I know I've said that for several times, that God's looking for somebody. I'd like to, in Matthew 6:33, it said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And brother, he said in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God don't speak. He don't speak just to be a speaking. God speaks because he wanted us to know the things that he had for us and the things that he would do for us. Brother, God didn't just talk to be here himself talk. The Bible says that every idle word that a man gives, he'll give an account, says he'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy word thou shalt be condemned, and by thy word thou shalt be justified. Listen to me tonight, folks. God long you to go. Brother, God's calling you tonight to reach out and take hold of this thing. And the Bible said in another place, Jesus was talking. He said, "No man taking hold of the plow, looking back, is worthy to enter in, or is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Let me tell you tonight that God is looking for somebody. He said over here in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, "And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Brother, there's a good will of God. There's an acceptable will of God, and there's a perfect will of God. And God wants you right in the center of his will. I believe Sister Green's talking a while ago about being in the center of God's will, brother. And I'll tell you, God wants us right in the center of his will. Paul, I'll tell you something. A lot of times we might be afraid of persecution, but the Bible said that we've been appointed to persecution. Brother, I want you to know today that I know what it is. Brother Green was talking about, worked a job for 20 years, and brother, and he was a Christian during that time, and brother, I've had the lead job because, brother, one time I worked in Logansport, Indiana, and I carried a Bible in, and I laid it down on my desk, and I got outside, and the man, when I was getting ready to leave, and he beat me outside, and asked me why I brought that Bible in there. And brother, I want you to know something today. We'll do what God would have us to do. God, we might be persecuted, but there'll be nothing happen to us until God says it's enough, until God says I'm through with you. And whenever he does that, then bless God, we'll go on to be with Jesus, and we'll not have to worry about it anymore. But you know what? I went home, and brother, the Lord told me to tell that man. He said, "You tell him, if they'll let me in that office, I'll bless it. They couldn't keep people working there." And I told him, and he said, "That's enough." I said, "All right." And you know what? I've never missed a meal since then. And brother, God has took care of us. And brother, I've had to leave jobs because of it was either deny my faith or deny the Lord or deny the job. And I couldn't deny my faith because Jesus said, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven." Oh, I'm telling you tonight, folks, God is looking for somebody that'll hold up the bloodstained banner, that'll go on out and live for him and preach the gospel. I thank God for this brother and sister from Guatemala, how that he's gone out preaching the gospel, how that she's gone with him, and how that she's preaching the gospel, and how that they're doing the thing that God would have them do. Right now I'm going to play a song, "Get About God's Business" by Timothy Dockery.
I've got to get up, get out, get about God's business.
That Brother Yearwood and Sister Betty have gone to next to Asheville, North Carolina. Sister Betty's brother-in-law passed away on Father's Day, and what we need to do, we need to pray for them. And has anybody got any prayer requests right now that you'd like to give in?
Yeah, Brother Eddie. Remember my cousin, Keith Green. He's been battling cancer for quite a while now, and I've not heard any word yet whether he's given his heart to the Lord, but he needs to be saved, and I know God can heal cancer. He's a healer, praise God. And I got members, a relation that's not saved. Just remember the Green family and the Moses family. My mom was a Moses. Many of her people's not saved. That's all I got.
All right. Anybody else? All these prayer requests that has been given in, like Friday night on Brother Green on your and Sister Joanne broadcast, let's remember them and the one that was given in over this broadcast last Tuesday. Let's remember them. We can't never pray too much for them, and let's just remember everything. If there's no other prayer request, let's go to the Lord. Be sure to remember that the broadcast, that God will move in it and reach out and touch people's hearts, that they'll come to the Lord, they'll come back to the Lord, and that God will heal and deliver. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, we just thank you, Father, God, for being with us, and we thank you, Lord, for your anointing, Father, that God that's upon these broadcasts, and Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, tonight in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the brother and sister, Lord, from Nicaragua, Lord, with brother and sister Green, Lord, and we pray that you just bless them and keep them, Father, meet every need that they've got, Lord, and God, I pray, Father, for Keith Green today, Lord. He's got cancer and he's lost, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd move and that you'd save him, Lord. And God, may he call on your name, Father. And Lord, I pray, God, that, Father, that you'd just save his soul, Father, and show him, and God, yourself, Lord, how much you love him. And God, and I pray that you'd heal him of that cancer, Lord, God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, God, for the Moses family tonight, God, that you'd just move, Lord, and God, the one that's lost in it, God, that you'd save them, and God, that there's sick people in it, Lord, that you'd just touch them, Lord, by your Spirit. God, I'm glad today that Jesus, Lord, he took the stripe for our healing. He lived and he died and rose again, Lord, that we might be born again into the family of God. But along with that, Lord, he took those stripes that we might be healed. And I pray for the prayer request that Sister Green and Brother Green had on the broadcast last week, Lord, that God, that you just move in and Father, and if that sister needs that house sold, Lord, that she's not sold it, I pray, God, that you'd sell that house. Let them sell it, Father. And God, all the ones that's sick, Lord, and God, where their death at tonight, I pray, God, that you let the comforter go in and comfort, Heavenly Father. And God, I pray, where there's grieving at tonight, that you just, Lord, go in and comfort and lift up and encourage, Heavenly Father. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would, and I pray for each one, each request that's given in, Lord, God, that you would just move, Heavenly Father. God, that you would just, Lord, grant a great outpouring of your Spirit, Father. And Lord, I pray for brother and sister Yearwood as they go to North Carolina, Father. God, that you watch over them, that you could keep them, Lord, and give them a safe trip up there and a safe trip back. And Lord, we just give you thanks. We give you honor and we give you glory for it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, comfort that family, Lord, who lost that father and that brother, Lord, that dad. God, and I believe Brother Yearwood said that some of the children was lost. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd let them see their need for you and that they would call on the name of the Lord, Father. God, we ask it in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would this brother or sister from the missionaries from Nicaragua, would they like to say anything else?
Yes, brother. Again, my name is Neil Simpson, my wife Amanda. I sure appreciate what we've heard tonight and the blessings and to be with the brothers in fellowship and what great opportunity God has given us in this hour that we can reach a world, even from our own living rooms and where we sit, that the Word of God goes, deals with men, deals with their hearts, and conviction can be on the other side of the world while we stand to preach this. It's amazing. That first church changed this world without an airplane, most of the time without anything that they could put their hand to and call it a great financial blessing. But we stand in the point right now where God has given us an opportunity to reach this world and to change something. And he has given us everything that is required, everything that is needed is bound up in this gospel that we preach.
Yeah.
There's so much promises for us, so much we can depend on that Christ would be with us even to the end of this world. And that he would be, as in our voice as we speak this, that there would be an anointing, the presence of God would be on each of us as the ministers of the gospel. I even pray in my own heart that the brothers I have heard and listened to and the sisters I've heard tonight, all of us be full of the Spirit of God and he would use us greatly and that we would be blessed in his ministry. I pray that the Lord meets our needs on every side and those things that we have lacked, that God would bring in the fullness and the blessing for us. We have so many things on the outsides of this, and we desire to do more for him and for Christ. But God has a mind of it. He knows of it. And in fact, the scripture says that God is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love. And I know that he has pulled us and dealt with us and every one of us in each of our lives to move us to the point where we're at now. Paul said it, that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's where we stand now. Not looking to the past, as the brothers have said tonight, not looking to what things have been committed before, but knowing that God, by his mercy, has called us. And now he works in us to both to do of his will and of his good pleasure.
Amen.
So we rejoice tonight with you, brothers and sisters, and thank you so much for everything. Thank you for letting us share just a moment of everything that God has done for us. Please keep praying for us. Please keep us in mind as we are there working. And thank you so much, brother. God bless all of you.
God bless you, brother. Somebody say something for the Lord.
Brother John, Sister Green, I was thinking here in Acts 1, real fast, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we're to go out. Y'all were talking about being sent by God, and, you know, we'll have power once we receive the Holy Ghost. To go out and to be that light of the world that I was talking about earlier. Brother Eddie, is it all right if I sing a song, brother?
Yeah, go right ahead.
If you need someone to work, Lord, until the close of the day, and helping a soul that is trying to find a way. If you need someone to point them to the crimson flow, Lord, send me and I'll go. If there's someone that needs to hear a prayer prayed, if there's someone that needs their soul to be saved, and if you need someone to point them to the crimson flow, Lord, send me and I'll go. Oh, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and there is work for all to do. Through the storms and the rain, through the wind that blows, oh Lord, send me and I'll go. Lord, you fed me when I was hungry. You blessed me through and through. When I needed consolation, I could always count on you. Now I want to share your goodness so that others may know. Lord, send me and I'll go. Go ahead, Brother Eddie.
Praise the Lord. We've got 51 seconds left. John, take us out in prayer, would you?
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship
you. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we know your word will not return unto you void, but it will prosper in that which is accomplished. Father, as the rain and the snow comes down, doesn't return, doesn't go back up. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, all across this globe, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that things that pertain to life, things that pertain to you, would be added to their lives. This word, this hope, this virtue, this knowledge, this faith, this word that has been spoken by the missionaries. And by, Lord, even evangelists, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, as this come together, that, Lord, that these broadcasts would be blessed, that, Lord, more would be added to church daily, such as should be saved. Father, we just give you the glory and honor, Lord. We thank you for the healings. We thank you for the deliverance. We thank you, Lord, that salvations and deliverance and healings and wholeness going all across this globe right now, even as we speak. Father, bring us closer together. Knit our hearts together as we go forth for thy gospel, for thy word, and for thy truth. And, Father, we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.
Amen. God bless everybody.
God bless.
God bless y'all.